Welcome to Manager Tools. Eliminating Bad Attitudes, Part 1. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. How can I address a direct bad attitude? How can I give feedback on attitude? What behavior should I give feedback on? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Finally, after years of waiting, The Effective Manager in book form is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and your other retail booksellers, as well as signed copies are available on our website, manager-tools.com. If you want to know the basics of how to manage others effectively in book format, including Kindle and ebook format as well, we encourage you to buy, read, and then implement the guidance in The Effective Manager.
This cast is important to me. I could have sworn we had talked about this before, but we went back and looked and no.
Well, we have, but never directly. We've always done it tangentially. We talk about it when we talk about feedback, about how feedback is about behaviors. But Mike, I got to tell you, I've been asked this question like 3 or 4 times in the last couple of months. I wrote it down on a piece of paper and I said, why would I want to? And then somebody asked me again. And so, yeah.
This cast gets to the crux really of what, when you came and consulted for me, I don't know, was it 20 years ago? Whatever. It was a long time ago.
I think the Wall Street Journal article about us, which just came out, said 15? No, it was more than that because it's 2016 now.
I should probably go back and read the article.
Yeah.
So it's been a while. But the thing that I walked away from that engagement on, which I thought was just brilliant, which is separating attitude and characterizations from behavior, that it's all about behavior. And this thing about, you know, managers giving feedback or wanting to get on their folks about a bad attitude, just, it happens all the time. And it doesn't work for the reasons we're going to get into. But when you turn around and focus on behaviors, it's amazing how quickly things can change.
Yeah, we've all done it. We've all managed directs who we thought had a bad attitude. And you trust yourself. We know it's true they have a bad attitude. And frankly, folks, you're right, it is. But this cast goes into a large bucket of casts of, do you want to be right, meaning what you're saying is true, or do you want to be effective, which in this case means changing their behaviors? The problem is if you confront a direct who has a bad attitude, they say, of course, I don't have a bad attitude. No, I don't. And the reason for that, guys, is because attitude is a state of mind, and we don't actually know someone's bad attitude. And the whole key to this thing is recognizing that we would never have inferred someone's bad attitude were it not for the behaviors they engaged in. And since we can see and we can hear or we can read those behaviors, we can change those behaviors. And the existential question of the day for this cast is, if someone is said to have a bad attitude but never engages in any behaviors which cause you to infer that they have a bad attitude, do they have a bad attitude?
And if they do you really care?
I got to tell you, I've said to people, you know, I had this moment when the third or fourth person asked me, and I may just be, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Maybe I've gotten this question a lot more and it only recently just sort of struck a chord with me. And I finally said to one guy, I really don't care if somebody has a bad attitude as long as they don't show me.
Yeah.
Because if their work is good, now you say, well, no, their work is bad. Well, now, wait a minute. Okay, why aren't we talking to them about their work? Well, because really it's the attitude driving things. Yeah, but the moment you start talking about the cause as opposed to the effect, first of all, you don't get paid for attitude. You get paid for work. And more importantly, they're going to defend themselves. And so we're trying to be right and we're trying to attack the root cause, but it never works. I just don't know anybody who's ever said to a direct, I need you to address your attitude. And the director then mentally addressed their attitude, but their behaviors didn't change, and the boss was okay with it. Doesn't work that way. So look, outline for today's cast. This is the first part of the process, because the second part is about repetition. So attitude is a state of mind, and the problem with that is directs can argue it. Behavior is always what delivers results in organizations. It's always behavior. It's not attitude. And we're going to talk about a whole bunch of behaviors that people consider to be bad attitude behaviors and how you would address them with some example feedback.
Right. Well, the first one's an important one, and that is attitude, when you start talking about attitude, it's a state of mind. It's not a behavior. And the result of that is they can argue with you about it. Somebody says, if I tell somebody they have a bad attitude, they say, no, I don't.
Yeah.
And you can't. What are you going to say? Yeah, you do. No, I don't. Yeah, you do.
Good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. And those of us who are experienced managers are just those of us who have made a lot of mistakes. And we've all made the mistake of talking to one of our team members, I did it when I was in the Army, about their attitude. And we all regretted it, even while secretly thinking, there's got to be a way to address this. I know that guy has a bad attitude.
Right.
And we were right in the sense that, of course, they did have a bad attitude. But we were also wrong in the sense that talking to them about their attitude won't change the attitude. And it's not the attitude that matters anyway, it's the behaviors. But the whole attitude thing is an easy one to get wrong. Every management leadership book mentions the old hire for attitude, train for skill, which, by the way, I like. But again, you don't actually see or hear or read the attitude. You read the behaviors that you infer from it. Or they say look for good attitudes. I even had an exec once in a plant, actually, in Northern California that said when he toured facilities, I just look for people with good attitude. If I see a lot of good attitudes, if I see that, I know we're going to be fine in one of his plans. The problem with the attention we pay to attitude is, like you said, it's a state of mind. We never see or hear or read. And folks, when I say read, I'm thinking emails as an example or documentation. But those are behaviors. Words people write in email or in documents or in PowerPoints or Word or Excel or whatever, those are behaviors. We don't actually see the attitude or hear the attitude any more than we can hear love or sadness. Or see love or sadness. We know you feel it, but that doesn't mean you actually see it, okay? And look, of course, you've seen people who are sad. I've seen people who are sad. And we know they're sad, and we're confident of our estimation of their emotional state. But again, we didn't actually see their sadness. What we saw were behaviors that our minds associate with sadness. And our minds are magical things. They're fabulous. And we correctly concluded or inferred that that person is sad. And we're right. But we don't actually know that they are sad unless they tell us. I don't know. I don't think of directs as walking around saying, I have a bad attitude. Just heads up, boss. I've got a bad attitude. But we don't know it. We're just confident of our inference that they're sad. And this goes back to the whole thing about how the brain and the mind and our senses work, that we don't see the world the way the world is. We see the world the way we are. We all have filters. We don't see everything exactly right. And then we have to process everything. The things that happen outside of us get processed. And what we remember of it inside of us, inside our memory, is in fact different. There have been movies made about that. And it's the difference between actually knowing, having proof, and behaviors aren't proof of attitude, because attitude, again, is a state of mind. The difference between actually knowing and only being confident, that's what creates problems for us. And look, think of it this way. Think of it from a strictly tactical perspective. If you tell somebody they have a bad attitude, they're going to disagree with you, right?
Every time.
I'm the manager. You're the direct.
Okay.
And I say to you, you've got a bad attitude.
No, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like...
It's reflexive.
It's a knee jerk. Yeah. Now look, I know I'm right, but Mike, as my direct here, knows something far more important than being right. He knows I don't actually know. He knows I've made an inference and he can argue all day long with me and I can't win.
Yeah, the important point is, I know that you can't prove it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and by the way, and I've just sunk to your level, to a guy who has bad attitude, which doesn't make much sense. So, let's do it differently. I say to Mike, hey, you've got a bad attitude.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do, dude. You crossed your arms, you rolled your eyes, you ignored questions, you made noises when other people were speaking in the meeting.
Yeah, maybe I did that, but that's just my personality, dude. It's not a bad attitude. I don't have a bad attitude. I have a good attitude.
And everybody's listening going, whoa, I've been there.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, and this goes back to the whole tactical thing. The problem it creates in addressing the attitude is just wasteful and unnecessary. When we infer somebody has a bad attitude, correctly or not, again, it's their behavior from which we infer. And again, the way we'll know their attitude has changed is their behavior has changed. So really what we want is the behavior change. Because if somebody maintained a bad attitude, or if their internally their behavior changed to or their attitude changed to good, but the behavior stayed the same, most of us would say that's not good. So look, think of it this way. Thought experiment. Your direct clearly has a bad attitude, evinced by the behaviors mentioned in the example we just did. But for whatever reason, over time, you notice the problematic behaviors you've been worried about disappearing. Are you still going to think he has a bad attitude? And even if he did, would you care? I would argue you wouldn't. But think of it this way. The direct changes his behaviors. He's still got a bad attitude. Let's say it's possible for that. And so Mike changes his behaviors, but secretly he still has this internal bad attitude. And so I say to him, hey, Mike, I've noticed you've got a good attitude.
No, I don't.
I love that. I just love it. Even if you accuse somebody of having a good attitude, if they actually have a bad attitude, they'll argue with you about it because they know they can win an argument about their state of mind. Again, would you even care if your direct said he had a bad attitude if he never showed any of the behaviors you associated with that bad attitude?
No, it's not the attitude that matters. It's behavior.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. Every time I read this, and I've written that so many times, it's not attitude that matters, it's behavior. I tell you, there's a strong pull, and listeners, you may be feeling it right now. And if you are, I felt it before. There's nothing wrong with feeling this, and that is this. But wait, I've been told that the key lever is to get their attitude right. If their attitude is right, from that behaviors will flow. This is a classic case of managerial leverage. You want the one lever of attitude, which releases all kinds of positive behaviors, timeliness, team spiritedness, creativity, ability to get along with other people, extra energy. And you say to yourself, well, I could attack the extra energy and I could attack the timeliness and I could attack the creativity, or I could just magically figure out how to make them have a good attitude. In principle, the simplicity of going after attitude is powerful, reasonable. I think about it all the time. I do. And if you're just starting, you're going to make this mistake over and over again of talking to people about attitude until you learn with bad attitudes, it really doesn't work that much. And I can't blame managers. The problem is, as we've said many, many times, what most of us do is we interact with other people's behaviors. And I need to break here and apologize. I'm actually recording at the Stanford Park Hotel, right next door to Stanford University, Northern California. And our windows are open because it's sort of a warm day. And I think I just had a siren go by, Mike. So I apologize for that. So you absolutely want to go after the attitude in order to leverage the behaviors. Unfortunately, there's an argument there. People don't like you talking about their attitude. And what ends up happening so often is we meet other people. Anybody. This is true of all human interaction. We interact with their behaviors. And then we think, you know, let me figure out what kind of person he's going to be in a couple of weeks when we're in a meeting next time. What we do, stupidly, I've learned this the hard way, is that we interact with their behaviors and then we think we're smart enough to get a sense of their personality. Some of us even go so far as to say, I think I can kind of see how he was raised and why he was that way and so on. I have a whole story for that guy. We build a whole inner story about people that we meet. And talking about personality makes it easy to do that, although Manager Tools doesn't address personality. We don't think it's effective to talk about personality. But what we do then is we then say, okay, let's project this person with this personality forward 2 weeks. And then based on the situation we're in, we're going to guess what that personality will then behave like. And then we'll know what kind of behaviors they're going to interact with us like with in 2 weeks. The problem with that is we're horrible at guessing what people are thinking and feeling and what people's personalities are. In fact, we're only right based on some unscientific exercises I've engaged in the last 25 years. We're only right about 25% of the time. In fact, bringing the point of DISC up is you're going to be right guessing people's personalities, drives, intentions, attitudes, and so on only if they have the same profile as you. if someone has a very different behavioral profile than you, when they're engaged in a behavior that you then infer means they have this kind of attitude, again, you're only going to be right if they have a similar behavioral pattern that you do. And if you infer the wrong one, you're going to be wrong in predicting their future. But the simple answer to that problem is, how do I predict somebody's future behavior, is pay attention to their behavior today, because it's very likely to be like the behavior in 2 weeks and 4 weeks and 6 months and so on. It's all about behavior.
Yeah. I think the point organizationally and managerially is that attitudes don't deliver results, right? It's behaviors. It's the sum of the behaviors across the organization.
Yes.
So why not just start with that?
Yeah, and I know there are people listening who go, well, attitudes do drive behaviors. I want guys with good attitudes. You're right. Attitudes are a driver of behaviors. There's no questions. But you'll never get to attitudes in a way that's useful. You won't. And so what actually drives results is the behaviors. Behaviors may be driven by attitudes, agreed. But again, the model breaks down if somebody has a good attitude and engages in bad behaviors. In fact, if somebody engages in bad behaviors, most managers say, well, therefore, their attitude is X.
Just imagine how hard it is to change somebody's attitude, right? I mean, yeah. unless everybody's going to go, you know, become a psychologist.
And
get a PhD,
yeah.
and even they get it wrong a lot of the time.
Yeah. So. I actually make it easier for you than that. Everybody thinks they are a psychologist. That's the point I was making earlier. We all think we're psychologists.
They would be wrong.
Dudes, just get over that. Get over it. You're not. And by the way, people don't like it. So.
Yeah, just have the conversation with your spouse. And we've all had them, right? Which is, yeah. Oh, I know what you're thinking. No, you don't. Right? It's like, somebody says that to me, that is the worst thing.
Yeah. So it's behavior that delivers results, not attitude, like you said. Suppose one of your directs told you they had a bad attitude, but you never saw any indication of the bad attitude. They were on time. They were pleasant to work with. They achieved their objectives. Would you try to correct their bad attitude? No. Suppose one of your directs said he had a good attitude, but missed deadlines, delivered low-quality work, didn't get everything done. Would you praise him for his attitude? No. More importantly, would his, quote, positive attitude, unquote, protect him from negative feedback for his failure to achieve objectives? No.
Yeah, some of you are thinking, well, of course it would, but no, the answer should be no. There are too many managers who spend a lot of time focused on the person's attitude. So anyways, that's another cast.
Yeah, exactly. So what all this proves is that while we talk an awful lot about attitude, we know that behaviors around objectives are what matters to organizations. Good results from a director with a bad attitude are preferable to bad results from someone with a good attitude. And the reason that's so is because we cannot get good results from someone with a bad attitude, because when you think about it, folks, good results prove good attitude. It's the behaviors that matter. Attitude is just a word we use to describe a basket of behaviors, and it's easier to talk about one thing, attitude, and it's the ultimate lever, than it is to talk about the 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 behaviors that led us to this conclusion that we can describe as bad attitude, just 2 words. It's the same thing that I talk about when I'm presenting. It's like talking about an audience as a single thing rather than all the members of the audience. It's easier for me to talk about the audience's experience than it is to talk about whether or not Joe or Bob or Terry or Sarah is actually having a good experience. Same exact thing. We want leverage. We want simplicity.
Okay, so take all that information you just shared and help me understand, how do I change the behaviors of somebody who has a bad attitude? How do I correct the bad attitude? You said earlier, I'm probably right. If somebody has a bad attitude, I can't do anything about the attitude, only behavior. So what do I do? How do I fix a bad attitude?
Yeah. So here's what's interesting. You can't prove the bad attitude, but you can change it. I'm not saying you could change it in all cases, but a lot of behavioral science and brain science lately has said you can behave your way into feeling things. In fact, this is one of the latest things in psychotherapy about, let's engage in behaviors that will help you feel good, even if you don't. This will sound terrible, and I may say this inartfully, but if you're depressed, go do something. And the action, the activity, the physical activity, the distracting your brain from the thoughts that can be so debilitating for those of you who are depressed, but you can actually behave your way into not thinking about your depression. And you can work your way out of that kind of debilitating long-term loss of effectiveness and productivity.
Right. You still may be depressed, but you're having fun. So it's okay.
Exactly. Well, I wouldn't laugh about it. I mean, there's a whole body of work about this very thing. It's like, no, I need to feel something before I behave. And actually, scientists say, no, you can actually behave something and the gears start working and you end up feeling better or feeling differently than you did before. So here's what I thought we'd do. I'm going to give, 20 maybe behaviors that are behaviors most of us would associate with bad attitudes. And then we're going to give a bunch of examples of feedback that you could give to people on these behaviors. And again, this is the first part of the cast because I can promise you it won't take one example of negative feedback for a bad attitude. Again, not talking about the attitude, talking about the behavior that will improve someone's, quote, bad attitude, unquote. And really, I'm going to give you the list, but it's irrelevant. I mean, everybody knows the list. You'll be able to come up with all the behaviors pretty quickly. So those of you who have been to our conferences, and if you haven't, we highly recommend Effective Manager Conference, where we talk about giving feedback, Effective Communication Conference, where we talk about the standard behaviors and how people communicate, which is the most frequent behavior we engage in at work, and also our Effective Interviewer Conference, when we talk about looking for the right behaviors and so on. But we're going to break it down into words, the classic categories of behaviors, words people say, how they say them, facial expressions, body language. We're not going to talk as much this time about work product, but we're going to include more of that in the next cast. And work product is the quality, quantity, accuracy, timeliness, and documentation associated with your work. Those are all behaviors as well. So, words people say. The word fine. How are you? Fine. Okay. The word no. Will you do this? No. The word maybe. You think you get it done on time? Maybe. The phrase, I don't care. Right? I'm sure all of us, if you're listening, you can think of situations where somebody said, I don't care. And you're thinking, ooh, that's a bad attitude right there. Okay. It doesn't matter to me. Same thing as I don't care. That's not important. Imagine you and a colleague are in a discussion and you say, I think X is real, and she says, that's not important. That could be a bad attitude. It may just be disagreeableness, but that could be part of bad attitude. You're wrong. Imagine you're wrong in an email. What about stupid or dumb or crazy? Any negatively toned word, especially in an email. Sighing, it's not a word actually, but it is a sound, and that goes into the category of words people say.
Maybe we should change it to sounds, not words people say. Maybe it's sounds.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there are so few sounds that they're mostly words.
Mostly.
The next is how people say those words. They see something sharply, or they interrupt, or they say something loudly, or they say something quickly, or they don't say anything at all. In other words, they have no answer, no opinion.
Or they use a facial expression to go along with it.
Yeah, not smiling. Everybody else smiles, somebody doesn't smile. Now, it's not that everybody has to smile all the time, and if you're a high I, you probably get your feelings hurt when the high C's don't smile at you. But you can see situations where everybody smiles and one person doesn't. Okay? Frowning, actively frowning, which by the way is kind of hard. Furrowing your brow. Sometimes it's intensity, sometimes it's focus, and sometimes it's just a bad attitude. Looking away. Raising one's eyebrows. You know, if somebody raises their eyebrows and says, are you kidding me? If one of your directs says that to another one of your directs, you could say to your direct, hey Joe, when you raise your eyebrows and say to Robert, are you kidding me? That comes across as contentious and sort of as a bad attitude. Can you work on that? Rolling somebody's eyes. Closing your eyes. Squinting.
Looking at the bottom of your glasses. Or looking over the, yes. I mean, looking over the top of your glasses, I guess I should say.
Looking over the top of your reading glasses. Yeah, people do it all the time. But some people also do it as a form of superiority. They lower their chin and they have their reading glasses at the bottom of their nose, and they look up, and because they lower their chin, they're looking through the lower half of their eyebrows, and it comes across as judgmental. And if you're reading that into someone and you say, hey, Bob, when you are talking to several people in a meeting, and then when you talk to Sarah, you lower your chin and you look at her over your reading glasses, it comes across as a superiority move. And I don't think that's effective. Can you work on that? Now, Bob may say, well, that's not what I meant. And I could say back, perhaps it isn't, but that's the way it could easily be perceived. Can you work on that? And say, well, I'll try to do better, but, you know, she's just complaining. And I would say, she's not complaining. She didn't say anything to me. I don't like it. And you know darn well, he doesn't do that with everybody else, but he does it with one more junior person on the team. Yeah. And it's the behavior you want to change. You're not going to change the fact that Bob looks down his nose at her. You're not. But darn sure going to change that behavior.
Absolutely.
And he'll prove he has a bad attitude by grumbling later to somebody and saying, yeah, the guy wants me to not look at her a certain way. Fine, I'll do that, but I don't like her. Again, if I take away all of his behaviors, that's why we're going to have a second part of this cast, because there are going to be multiple examples. If I take away all the behaviors, I no longer have something to worry about. And I can assure you the object of his disdain will notice a change in the relationship. Even if she secretly admits to me, I don't think that guy will ever like me. But at least he's not a pain in the butt all the time. Body language, crossing your arms, leaning back, leaning forward sometimes, getting physically close to someone, which can be significant, throwing up your hands, making fists, putting your palms outward toward another person, you know, an indication of stop talking. The brush off movement, like you're trying to brush something off the table or a piece of lint off of your clothes by flicking your wrist, raising your chin, rocking a chair, walking away, turning away from a conversation you're in. And guys, this list isn't complete by any means. We'll talk about work product tomorrow, next cast, but it's a good start. Anyone who hears or sees these behaviors can see when they would be used as an indicator of bad attitude. Now, one more thing. You might be thinking, yeah, that doesn't actually happen. You know, what about cultural differences? So it's possible that in some workplaces, one or two of these are rarely used, and that's fine. But folks, if you've been led to believe by the culture police that people are different everywhere and that gestures are different everywhere, you've been misled. These gestures are common. Humans are born with these gestures. These are normal gestures. They may be a little bit more pronounced in some societies, but all of these gestures are standard across the world. So don't worry about going somewhere else and not being able to read people's gestures. They're normal. They're human behaviors, not cultural behaviors. And going further, no single thing in this list is proof of a bad attitude. And this is where I think a lot of managers go wrong. They see something, they immediately jump to the conclusion of bad attitude. Maybe the guy was in a bad mood, but they don't have a bad attitude. And in order to get to the issue of attitude, which is the ultimate lever in some people's minds, they say one thing, they want to nip that bad attitude in the bud, and so they address it as bad attitude. And now they've got a problem. Because the direct didn't have a bad attitude, you've just basically really gotten under his skin by suggesting he did. He was just having a bad moment. Now we have a problem. So let me go back and say, so no single item in this list is proof of that bad attitude. There are times when folks close their eyes to indicate they're thinking and they're not implying any attitude, or everyone turns away at the end of a conversation, but it would be different in the middle of a conversation. Crossing your arms happens all the time when it has nothing to do with a bad attitude.
Yeah, we recently did that.
That's right. We had our pictures taken for the Wall Street Journal, and you know, we were standing outside and the photographer actually said, why don't you put your hands in your pockets? And I said, okay, we did it. And then I said, yeah, but you can't use those. And he said, why not? I said, because we teach people don't stand around with your hands in your pockets. And he said, oh. And then both Mike and I at the same time crossed our arms. He says, well, that works. And how often in our lives have we been standing on my back porch or your back deck or something and standing there with our arms crossed? So we're not saying that all these behaviors are always deserving of negative feedback, guys. But sometimes, if they come together in clusters, they are. And listen to this carefully now. Because we are, if you'll remember, confident about our inferences about a direct's attitude problems, and our inference came from their behaviors, if we give negative feedback about the behaviors and the behaviors cease, the attitude will have essentially disappeared as well.
How about giving me some examples of what that might sound like?
So you're right. Examples would be good. Mike, can you give some feedback?
Sure.
When you cross your arms, when your colleague is disagreeing with you, I think it could be perceived a little disrespectfully. Can you work on that?
Sure.
Good. Hey, Mike, can I give some feedback?
Absolutely.
When you don't smile, when someone compliments your idea politely, I think it can be seen as not appreciative. Can you work on that for me?
Sure. Absolutely. I get that.
Yeah. No worries. Hey, Mike, can I give some feedback?
Sure.
When you tell us you don't care about a topic we're discussing in a staff meeting, it really sets you apart from the team. Can you do that better next time?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Let's do the rest of them without every step in the feedback model. I'm just going to do step 2 and 3, which is when you do something, here's what happens. When you look away extensively from someone with whom you're having a discussion in a meeting, it could be perceived disrespectfully. It appears you may not be listening. Can you work on that? When you raise your voice towards a colleague, it tears down the team. Can you try to do that better? When you frown when other people share their ideas, dude, it looks like you think you're superior, which is not cool. Can you work on that? Dude, when you pound the table, it scares people. Not good. Can you work on that? You need to stop that, please. Okay. Hey, when you interrupt others, it's rude. It cuts off communication. Can you work on that? Or, hey, when you interrupt, I think it damages your relationship with some of your colleagues. Or, hey, when you interrupt a lot, I think it undermines your relationships and it reduces your chances of success. Okay, and by the way, all of those that I just gave were all classic D-I-S-N-C step 3s for those of you who like to really tailor your step 3 of your feedback model to the person you're talking to. Or, hey, when you don't share your ideas, it appears you don't care, which is not good. When you point out 3 negatives and no positives about somebody else's idea, it can feel like an attack rather than an evaluation. Or when you point out 3 negatives and not a single positive, there are people whose feelings get hurt. We don't want that. And I know some of you in your head are going, well, wait, that's not what I intended. Yeah, I know. And I'm knowledgeable enough, whether you intended or not, you're still responsible for your actions and their impacts. Even if you don't intend it, why would you want to continue doing it if, in fact, it hurts people's feelings? Okay. When you only turn in work after you've been reminded, it appears your priorities are misaligned with mine. Can you work on that for me? When you tell people you're wrong, just you're wrong, I think it's ineffective and inefficient. It tears the team apart. Can you try a different way of disagreeing? Now, none of these are terribly fancy, and yes, they go to the issue of behaviors. But again, if we change a direct's behaviors, we don't have to worry about their attitude. So guys, never try to change somebody's attitude. Don't worry about their attitude. You could think about it, but really what we want to do is change their behaviors. Give feedback about behaviors and notice their behaviors change. And then magically, you'll end up noticing that their attitude has changed. But not because you try to change the attitude, but rather because you change the basket of behaviors that we use to describe attitude. And then your problem's solved.
Yeah, I can give you many, many examples of experiencing this myself. So
right, we did it the wrong way. The wrong way. Yeah. You just know.
Yeah, and once you figure it out, you'll never want to go back to trying to change people's attitudes. Just,
yeah,
it doesn't work.
Behavior, 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 behavior. Yep.
All right, my friend. Enjoyed it.
Thanks, partner.
All right, we'll see you. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want, with easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions. It couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.